Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man? It is wonderful to see you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And you guys can see us, too.
That's right.
Tune in on our YouTube channel.
That's right. We do have a YouTube channel. Yeah, so listeners, if you haven't caught on yet, we do have a YouTube channel. It is youtube.com/@ Men Church Stuff. And that'll take you, to the channel. I think we've got 22 videos now. So slowly but surely, I will be adding our backlog to YouTube. But we do have that up and running. We are not going to do a dramatic reading. We're gonna press pause on that because Brad and I, we agree that we don't want to do it every single week because we might just sort of beat it to death. But guys, keep giving us some song recommendations for us to be able to get into our library and Brad can say, oh, DJ, I think that you should do that one. And I'll roll my eyes and think, crap, here we go. So, if you go listen to last week's show, you will get to hear me dramatically read Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. And by the end of it, I was really, really done shaking it off. Sort of like, Brad, sort of like to me, I like to tell my students, because of the late 90s and the early 2000s, I've traded my sorrows. I have. Yeah. I did enough of it.
You were shook.
I'm shook. I'm shook. I shook it off. So... as promised from last week, listeners, we are going to continue our conversation because I just don't think that Brad and I were able to kind of like get to a concrete point enough, that I want to be able to at least tease out some. However, we are going to start with memes with Brad. I don't have like a little mixer to where I can get like the echo in real time. So I gave you one, Brad. All right, so here's the game. I'm pretty relentless with this, but I'm going to give Brad a meme, and he is going to do a sermon illustration based on the meme. And for listeners if you're new to the show, here's the way that I like to do things. I don't like to give Brad softball memes. I only gave him one last time, and if you want to go back, we've got a whole show that's dedicated to it. It's called Memes with Brad. Memes with Brad.
You changed my name.
Yeah. Could call you Bradford.
To protect the guilty. Yeah. I mean, innocent.
But I'm going to throw up a meme that will make me laugh or that will make Brad laugh. Hopefully it will make you laugh. And then Brad has to, as a pastor, like kind of ruin the comedy and make it a sermon illustration. Sorry, Brad.
Yeah. Stupid pastors ruining
Stupid
everything.
Pastors, that's right.
Ruining all our fun.
All right, Brad. Meme number one. Here we go.
Always remember that if you fall, I will pick you up after I finish laughing. So for me, and I've been thinking about this, and I think I would do this, is Jesus had a sense of humor. Jesus has a sense of humor. Uh-huh. God has a sense of humor. And I think we forget that. I think we absolutely just ignore the fact that God, one, invented laughter. And so I think there's several times when Jesus probably was just kind of laughing at the apostles, kind of like when you laugh at your kids. And although sometimes you may not even do it like, oh, I can't laugh at their face. I was just wondering how many times he walked around the corner or when he's going off to talk to the Father, right? All right, you guys stay here.
That's right.
Walks off. Oh, did you see that, Dad? Did you hear that? How ridiculous that was.
That's right.
James and John's mom. Oh my goodness.
That's right, James and John's mom.
Also, somebody I was pointing out too, like Jesus is using illustrations, right? When he talks about getting the beam out of your own eye versus a splinter out of others, like think about that visually. Like you're just visualizing a guy with a two before hanging out of his eye, going, dude, you got a splinter in your eye. I mean, I think there's supposed to be some level of humor. And again, we look at the natural world, you got farts, you got the duck-billed platypus, all of these kind of crazy things. So I think that I was like, you know what? God's a good father. And yeah, I'm gonna help you up.
Oh, that's
I'm gonna
hilarious.
laugh at you. I'm gonna laugh at you
Totally
first.
see in my head the angels going, God, what was that sound? And God said, well, that's air coming out of their butt. Isn't that nasty? Yeah, it actually is, but don't worry, they're gonna think it's hilarious.
It's a gas-powered trumpet on the back end. I
That's
mean,
right.
it's no, it's gonna be good. It's gonna
That's
be
gonna be
good.
good. It's gonna be good. It, yeah,
Like
right.
forever.
It's gonna be good.
It's a great equalizer.
I wonder if every time somebody farts and laughs, God cuts his eyes over at the angels and goes, "See?"
Gonna make some stuck in the mud people so
That's
uncomfortable.
right.
It's really gonna mess with the Pharisees. Just wait.
Yes, it is.
Think Jesus
Oh,
ever
that's
cut
good.
one? Like, and they're looking at him like, did you just, they're like, what?
What?
Like, you don't?
What?
Everybody does. I know for a fact that's the way I designed
Know,
you.
that's right. All right, Brad, next meme. Here we go.
All right. Nice sign. Next time you're afraid to share ideas, remember someone once said in a meeting, let's make a film with a tornado full of sharks. Brilliant. Let me just say the Sharknado, when I was a youth pastor, was an unofficial. I watched it with one youth, and then after that, every Shark Week, like for like the first four, because they would come out with like a new one for every Shark Week, we would get together and watch the Sharknado movies and
Did you
laugh
really?
about them.
Oh my
Yes. And
gosh.
again, it was not an official youth group, like church sanctioned activity, but they come over to me and Tabby, and like we'd get gummy sharks and we would just watch the movies and talk about their ridiculousness. Where would I go with this? Maybe that sometimes God, and again, not that God Sharknado is this, but sometimes God's way and God's method seems off to us, like how Gideon wins the war. Right, because really God wins, but he calls Gideon this valiant warrior. All right, we're gonna take 300 guys, and you're gonna have a torch in one hand in a pot, and you're gonna have a trumpet in the other, and we're all gonna surround them all around. And then when I give the signal, you're gonna bust the pot and blow the trumpet.
Way to go, Brad. Way
And it
to
worked, because God confuses the enemy. They're fighting against themselves. It
Brad,
run
you're a
off
genius. You are a genius.
300 guys, Sharknado an entire people, and win.
And because, dude, you know, I've never thought about this. You know, after all that's over with, Gideon and his men are going, that
Yeah,
worked? Like,
there's some
what?
guy going, I didn't think that was gonna work. I thought we were all
That
gonna die.
was a dumb idea.
I was like, all right, God told you to do this. I guess we're gonna find out.
That's right. He's
You
our
know how
leader.
many of those guys are down there, right?
Yeah, right.
What happens when they call our bluff?
Oh, that's good. Good job, Brad. Well done, man. Yeah. All right, let's do one more. Either number 15 or number 18. Which one do you want?
Let's go with 18.
18. Oh, yes. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad. I can't put this one on my door, but I want to so bad.
All right, Jesus. Be kind to everyone. Kind of Sermon on the Mount. Be kind to everyone. Wait, even Gary? Yeah, Gary's the worst. Look, we've been through this. Yes, be kind to Gary as well. Ha, suck it, losers. Not now, Gary. I wasn't ready for that. I got it. I just can't get it out of my mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, please mark your calendars. I have known Brad for 20 years. I can count probably on one hand that I've ever seen Brad tickled to where he's like almost belly laughing. It took me 88 episodes, but I did
I'm
it.
stuck at
Yes.
losers. Not now, Gary.
Not now, Gary.
Yeah, take it off the screen. Every time I look back down, it's like, I think if, Jesus tells us to love our enemies, one.
Right.
That's the easy one. But like he says, if you love and do good basically to only those who do good to you, then what good is that? Like even the Pharisees do that. Even the tax collector, the IRS guys like each other.
Yeah.
Don't act like you're doing something when you're loving people that love you back. Like it's really like love is shown when you're loving people that don't love you back. I love that, by the way. I'm That's fantastic. But I think that's such but that's such a good point for so much of the scripture, honestly,
Yeah.
because it's like, okay, do what God says, and then people are going to like us and be nice to us. No, they hated Jesus.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was hateable? No, they hated the most unhateable, like being man ever. Like here is the author of love and grace and laughter. And it's like, you know what? Let's crucify him. So you who are not the author of love, grace, laughter, we've all got a little Gary in us.
We do. Dude, you're right. Yes, we do.
People were, if they hated Jesus, they're definitely gonna hate you if you're following Jesus. You're not even as good as Jesus. But I think, yeah, I'm going, the kind of love your enemies. I mean, I could also go with like, I think some of the times, like, we want to be like, oh man, if we had all 12 of the apostles just come over to church, it would be awesome. And I'm like, it would probably be madhouse because
Yeah.
those guys, like, I bet some of the fights and some of the disagreements, and we're privy to a few of them. I mean, they're hardcore arguing which one of them is greatest.
Yeah.
And they're all arguing it's them.
Well, and I mean,
So.
and like Paul scolds Peter publicly.
I.
like, so.
I can almost I I could almost change Gary to Peter.
That's actually right. You're right. Ah, suck it, losers.
Even
Not now,
Peter?
Peter.
Even Peter? Yeah, suck it, losers. Peter.
Not now. Not now.
I need you to be a little more, a little less Simon right now. A little more. But I think that's how you. Suck it, losers. Hey, not now, Simon.
Yeah, not now. Hey, my name. It is right now, it is. All right. Well done, Brad. I'm glad that you got a kick out of that. Yes. That's one of, actually, Brad, seriously, that is one of the, that has been one of the hopes for me for a long time. I love, like, when, and listeners, I know that right now it's just kind of testimony, but when me, Dad, and Brad are fishing, really outside of maybe like silly board games like Relative Insanity, or pun intended, something like that. Those are the times that I see Brad like laugh. I mean, like really laugh. And I finally got you to do that on the show. I've been wanting to do that so bad. And it's not because like Brad's a, you know, a killjoy or anything. It's when Brad goes, that's a laugh like that. Like that's almost like a belly laugh for me, because I obviously laugh pretty easily. Anyways, here we go. Let's get into the topic. Brad, one of the things that I really kind of wanted to chase in part two, dealing with jobs in ministry, that we were discussing last week, was this idea that again, just to kind of rehash the epiphany that I had last week, was the when I say the business model, I'm referring more towards the way that we as American citizens, Western citizens, experience and are conditioned to thinking about a job or a career. And the epiphany that I had was that in the business model, the individual can be replaced. The individual is not important. Yes, I think that there's a lot of people who work with wonderful folks who deem them important, but a job is a job. I like the way that our economy is set up is based upon the product and the consumer base, not the person who is doing it, right? I think for me, the artisanship of something has dwindled exponentially since long before you and I were born.
But don't
But
fire the IT guy that wrote the code.
dude, you're not wrong, man. It's exactly right. Or have him write the code, and now you've got the code, then you can fire him. You know, and actually that happens a ton, right? But
Well, they write those bugs in there.
yeah.
Oh, is it not working the way
Oh,
it's
is it not
supposed to?
working? That's
Am I the only one that can get it to work that way? What a
Well, you fired me.
coincidence.
Yeah, you
You
fired me. So if you want to
have
bring
to
me
hire, it's going
back.
to cost you twice as much to hire me back. And I've heard of that happening. We're
So,
undervaluing people. But again, that's
yeah.
not the point that we're going for.
But the idea is that the business model is that the individual can be replaced. In your experience, have you ever put or viewed like the role of a pastor or the role of a minister in the same limelight? And I'm trying to consolidate these thoughts to like just a single sentence. But have you ever viewed the role of a pastor in the same way as you mentioned last week, a McDonald's burger flipper or a construction worker or something like that?
Well, and I here's where it's difficult, all right? Because I can't, you don't want to overinflate your own position either, right? Because there were pastors that pastored First Baptist Murphy before me. If God tarries and so chooses, there'll be pastors that pastor First Baptist Murphy after me. So in that sense, like, am I am I replaceable? Well, I mean, there's somebody before me, there'll be somebody after me. But there's never going to be another me.
Right.
Right. So again, I'm not just, oh, see, the pastor's important. I would look at every piece of the puzzle of the body, as important, that God is putting his church together. So not valuing the pastor more than we're valuing the deacon, the trustee, the Sunday school teacher, the old lady that sits in the back and just loves on everybody. And so I think that's important. I think there's things that we can learn from the business model as we're doing things. I think we often, though, don't even follow the business model in business. Not really a good business model. Because often the business model is, it becomes about the bottom line, right? It becomes about who are we making happy with money, right? And so we certainly can look at the business model of, okay, well, who are we supposed to be making happy in the church? Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit, right? So we're doing what we're supposed to do to please them. I think the problem when we get the business model is when we make ourselves, again, the recipient of who's supposed to be happy in the equation. Like, okay, I come to church, make me happy. I come to church, fix my problems. Hey, here's my kid, youth pastor. Get them saved.
So if I can, I want to interject and say this. I think what you just said is a really good point to consider in this discussion because, when we take a look at not how do pastors view the role of pastors, but how does our culture view the role of pastors or associate pastors or youth ministers and children, like whatever the case is, just anybody that is a servant of the church in a full-time capacity there. That's a long way to say
An
employee without saying employee.
evangelist.
Yeah, right, an evangelist. So if they view it as here's what will make happy, here's what will make me happy, please do this to make me happy, then I would argue that they don't view the role of minister as a called position, but rather just a position that, again, where the individual can be replaced. Look, if you're not going to make me happy, we'll find somebody who will. And what I can't speak to, listeners, if you're new to the show, Brad and I, we're both Baptists. So I know that in Methodism and Catholicism, I would assume in Episcopalianism, I don't know, even in the Presbyterian Church, that they're not really churches, they're parishes. And I say churches in not using the same definition, but like, they're assigned. There's a council that does something and makes decisions. And I do know that to a certain extent, in some of them, again, I can't speak to all of them, but I know in some of them that the church's outlook, the church's attitude towards the minister does pull some weight. But again, in light of that thinking, how then do we relegate the, and maybe even better yet, how do we not just relegate, but how do we educate the people not to consider the role of ministers as a calling, but what about just our jobs in general? And I am not saying God has called me to be a McDonald's burger flipper. Because I don't seriously, I've never had a conversation with anybody who says God has called me to this job. But I don't think that doesn't mean it's not, it doesn't happen.
Well, but right, because think about this. And maybe your call for something not forever, but for a time, because there's definitely seasons of life. So maybe for this season of your life, God has called you to be the person that is at the window at some restaurant. And maybe you don't even particularly like your job, but you're really good at just, making people's day, 'cause you smile, because you bless them, and God uses you. And if your manager goes, oh, you know what? I know you hate being on the window, but like every time you're on the window, like we get less complaints. We get, like people are happier. Like it's crazy. Like I thought it was just a fluke, but I mean, like I've been tracking it. Like on the days when you're on the window, because God's people should be reflecting Christ. Even though you're not at the window going, hey, can I talk to you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? No, I would just like my fries and my coffee.
And I'm going to be honest with you, Brad. If someone were to ask me that, if I were to get a cup of coffee and someone were to say, "Can I talk to you about Jesus right now?" It'll stun me. It will not, like, it's not one of those things that even I would expect people to say.
Well, and again, so this is, and I try to think about this because I'm an introvert, right? I had some people walk up to my car once and like hand me like a little track, which is fine. No problem. I'm a bit like, okay, one, you caught me off guard. I'm an introvert. They're like, oh, hey, we're having this, basically they were having this church service in this parking lot, which is, that's fine. Those are good things. But they were like, oh, hey, we met you. I was like, oh, I really appreciate it. And they were trying to tell me about you. I was like, well, actually, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll come join us. No, I got to go in here and pick something up and got things to do. And again, it was fine. I appreciate the invitation. But for me, it was awkward. It was so awkward because I'm like, I don't know what to say. And then I didn't know. So I think we got to keep that in mind, too, that it's okay to be awkward. It's okay to make people, feel awkward. Just be mindful of that. I mean, the message of the gospel is worth having people feel awkward about. I'd much rather people come and do that. Just, I think, just acknowledge that and don't go overboard. Don't be too pushy. I don't see Jesus being too pushy in this presentation of the gospel. When the rich young ruler
That's
walks off
exactly where I
sadly,
was going, man.
Jesus is not like, hey, dude, where are you going? Like,
I haven't told you
hey,
the whole plan of salvation yet. There's more to this. You
what
misunderstood.
if I, what, hey, what if you follow me and, no, so I think that, sometimes I will give out these like Gospels of John. So sometimes when I'm going through the drive-thru, I'll say, hey, can I give you this? And I've had at least one person say, yeah, no, I'm not taking that. I'm like, okay. And I go on. I'm not here to start a war. I give you the Gospel of John. I mean, like, if you don't want it, then okay. I'm going to offer it to the person at the next window.
That's right. So Brad, when
I know I
first of
got us
all,
off base. Like,
no,
wait,
no,
what
it's
were we
okay.
talking about again? I'm
When
good at that.
you
Go to
when
my
you
Bible study on Wednesday night. We're going through Jeremiah and we end up in Matthew and
Brad, when you stop to think about the way people view a job or a career and the way people view ministers, do you see a discrepancy between the two?
Yes. And I think again, when you, I think there are people, let me use your sister for an example, right? Your sister is an amazing teacher, and I would argue with anybody that's her calling in life. God has called her to teach. I would even maybe argue that even though she hasn't always been here, that like kindergarten is what God made her to do.
Dude, she's
And
such a
begging,
good
I just
kindergarten teacher.
she is, and don't just take my word for it. I could get you a list of parents a mile long. And then I've met teachers that really weren't called to teach. for whatever reason. Now, those teachers, I think a lot of times realize that and go do something else.
We would hope.
But I think you, yeah, because sometimes they don't,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
sometimes they don't, man.
But I think that's the thing. It's like what has God wired me for? Where has God called me? So I believe that you should be praying about that all the time. Carrie Beth's getting ready to look for a job. She put in an application. It's something that I'm gonna be encouraging her to pray about, and follow God's leading. Do I think this first job is probably going to be her calling?
Right.
No, but it might be her calling for now,
Yeah.
in this season. And trust me, I worry a lot. So I take God up on his offer to pray a lot. So it's like, that's my baby. She's going to be working with some people. Some of those people are probably going to be sleazy at times. I hope not. But if she's going to work in the public, she's going to run into sleazy people.
Yeah.
Now,
No
I
doubt.
need to pray, one, for God's protection for her. Pray that God's going to surround her with people that are going to also protect her and watch out for her. And also pray for her dad that he doesn't like kill somebody because I don't know where she's going to work. Let's just say McDonald's, because somebody threw a shake at her. Because now you better hope I wasn't sitting there when that happened. I better hope I'm not sitting there when that happened because I'm going to jail.
That's right.
But you know what? Nobody else gonna mess with her at McDonald's. They'd be like,
That's
listen, if there's a beardy guy there, you
yeah.
better not say anything. But so I think we have to look not just at like the position as much as is what has God called me to do. And God has really called us to do, and I mentioned this in the last episode, like with my dad. My dad was a middle school janitor. And he did great. Whatever we're doing, do it as if we're doing it for Jesus, not for people. So we're doing the best job. Somebody said, and I don't remember and who it was, and some people say he didn't say it anyway. So I think the quote's good. So I'll put it
Okay.
this way. You
All
can
right.
guys can Google it. You don't show yourself to be a Christian shoemaker by putting little crosses on your
That's ex
shoes,
Dude, go, Brad.
but by making good quality shoes.
Yeah.
God wants us to be a reflection of him wherever we are. And that doesn't always mean that we're actively speaking. Now, I like and I don't like the whole if necessary use words that go throughout the world and preach the gospel if necessary use words. It is necessary to use words. I've read the book. How can he know if he has not heard? That requires words.
It's not a book of blank pages that you flip through and you think, oh my goodness, I'm so inspired.
But we can be preaching the gospel through following through in the gospel with what we're doing. I think so much that we need to live our lives in a way that makes skeptics doubt their unbelief. That makes them go, you know what? I've met a lot of Christians and I wasn't impressed. But I ran into that guy down at the coffee shop named Gary. We'll give Gary's
All right, Gary, there you
a
go.
swing.
Yeah, right. He's learned his
And
lesson, ladies and
yeah, and
gentlemen.
man, like I was talking to him, he was just such a great guy, he was so encouraging. And finally, like he's a Christian. He started talking about Jesus, and he wasn't weird about it. He just shared with me, and man, if and some lady dropped her four drinks, and man, he just helped her pick them up, and then he bought the replacements, for like wow, go Gary. So if there's any Garys listen, see
That's
we
right.
love you. You can be Christ-like.
Suck it, losers.
So yeah. But I think we look at that. Because I gotta be careful as a pastor, right? That I don't overinflate my ego, like, well, I'm the pastor. And I like what one pastor said. Now, he didn't even like being called pastor. I'm not gonna go that far. But his point was, and I think there's some meat to it. He's like, everybody's like, oh, hey, Pastor Brad, he's like, I don't go like, hey, Dennis John, hey, Plumber Gary. I mean, but again, for you, you go like, well, hey, Professor Culp, so again, it's not wrong, but we better not get too inflated, right? Even you as a professor, you might be like, oh, you guys are all just morons. I mean, there are going to be kids that come through, or adults, or young adults, who come through your classes. They're going to be smarter than you.
Oh gosh, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Now, you
Yeah.
don't want to know that too much at the time.
That's right. I always have to make sure that they understand I do have the edge
That's
on
right.
you.
Listen, you may be smarter than me,
That's
but my name is on the door.
right.
Okay.
Not
So,
yours. Back off.
yeah. Now, later on down the road, when you're teaching the class and I'm taking your class, because you're the expert, now the roles have reversed. But I think for me, more important than looking at some of these trying to define X, Y, Z about this is that we're looking at that God has called us to live in this world, to be the representation, the light of the world, the salt and light, which is what Jesus is, and so what he commissioned us to be, right? To share the good news as we're going. And here's one of the beautiful things too, because sometimes life sucks. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes you're depressed. Sometimes everything is going wrong. And I think one of the beautiful things about the truth of Scripture is sometimes God is using you more in those times. And he's definitely oftentimes teaching you more. People who have become really strong in anything, right? Don't become that on vacation while it was so easy. You know what? I was just laying on the beach and I became a professional athlete. No. Like, I went through years of grueling sports and competition
Pain.
and pain and wins and losses, and broke this and got my tooth knocked out over here and
Right now we're trying to, and I understand that we can only do so much, but we're trying to get Noah to understand that the greatest hitters in baseball history would like batted what like 450, which is stupid. Like you can write your ticket anywhere. If you bat 450, which means that less than 50% of time that you get up to bat, you get on base. What the heck?
But right, like you
Like
don't want to go to a dentist that bats 450, like
that's
in root
exactly
canals, right? Yeah,
the
like well, 55% of the time I do these,
ERA.
it doesn't go well. I
Man,
miss. I get
that's a high
the
stat, man.
wrong.
I'm
Yeah,
coming.
I get the wrong tooth.
I get the wrong tooth. I put the Novocaine in your eye, you
Yeah.
know?
But right. So we want to think that. And I think it's a great analogy though for life too. Like my job as pastor is to preach the gospel, right? It's to teach people and preach the Bible. This is what God has said. Some sermons, and again, but to the glory of God, because God's word's going to do what it's like, it's going to accomplish its work. But sometimes it may just be an awesome sermon, and God has used it, and it's life changing. But every sermon's probably not going to be that. I mean, some people are like, oh, that's a great sermon today. They don't always say that, and that's okay, because you know what? Sometimes it was just okay. But I
I
preached the
mean,
word, and God's word's going to do its thing.
Paul was preaching for so long, there was a kid who fell asleep and fell out of a window and died.
Don't think I've done that yet. Hopefully, I don't, because I, unless
so
God
unless,
does again, God
like,
pulls a miracle, like,
that was a major decline in his batting average.
yeah.
Like,
Ooh, ouch. Don't sit in the window while I'm preaching.
That's
This is
right.
my
Don't do it.
recommendation to you. Don't be.
So Brad, I like you've already made that segue that, you know, kind of joining, conjoining the idea of, you know, the discrepancy of a career versus a minister. I think a major part that you were just talking about has to do with the false belief that the life of a Christian should either A, only be cared about more by ministers, or B, I should demonstrate the life of a Christian more in front of ministers.
Yes. Oh gosh.
You
Oh,
know,
we do a whole show on that one. We
I
do a
know,
whole
right?
show on like, I am not God's police officer. He already knows. All right. I'm not whispering in his ear. I cursed in front of the pastor.
You're
He's
lying
gonna
in church.
tell Jesus on me.
Yeah, right.
Jesus already knows. All right. He don't need me. He's not going like, all right, Brad, give me the scope on
Yeah,
all the people.
right.
Like, that
Oh,
is
there's
so not
somebody
my
new in your
job.
town. I didn't know that.
And listen, like, I want you to be real. I've had so many of these conversations with people. Like, I appreciate if you've got a really foul mouth and you're like, out of respect for you, like, I'm not dropping the F-bomb every other word. I
Yeah.
appreciate that. I do. But I don't want you to change who you are when
Yeah.
I walk up. That
Right.
makes it uncomfortable for me and you.
And you. That's
And then you
exactly
certainly
right.
don't want me to hang around. You're like, oh yeah, hey, nothing like having the pastor there.
See,
And
so Brad, to me, that means that person knows that they're Gary.
yeah.
You know, like, ha,
Hey,
suck it, losers. You know, like, whoa, back off, man. It's
hey, and I
be
mean,
you. I'm
maybe
gonna
I
be
don't know.
me.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, or maybe I should. I got mad at the dog, cause this morning, because I took the dog out twice last night, and she peed in the floor.
Oh, dude.
Definitely was angry and definitely said a swear word as the pastor,
Yeah.
not suggesting that that's good
Oh.
and you should do that.
Right.
Not saying, hey, oh, the pastor is okay. No. If it's wrong for you, it's wrong for me.
That's it. Yeah, I mean,
So it's like, well, it's duly wrong for you. I can't believe it. We should fire him. Okay. I mean, if you're gonna fire me over that, I got a
but
lot
aren't
worse things
see
you can
see
fire me over.
and here's the thing, you're right. We can do a whole ep on that, but to me, I think that this point parallels not just with the way we're talking about, but also with occupation. But like, well, you know, Brad, you do that? Oh my gosh, you're supposed to be closer to God than who? Me?
Yeah.
That's not the way this works. It was, right? But it actually the process was that way prior to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. But now I
I mean,
know,
there was
I
a
know.
mediator. Like, yeah,
But
right. Like, there was a Moses. There was a high priest. Like, I
yes,
get you.
the process of the process of
Yeah.
I
The
all I can think of is
veil. There was a
sanctification, but
veil. There was a very thick veil.
yes. But the idea nonetheless is no, we are all held to the exact same standard, not just of living, but of loving and of, as you mentioned last week, of doing the work for Christ.
Well, and again, there is from God's standpoint, right? This is not dealing with people. This is dealing with God. It says, "Let few be teachers, for theirs is a greater condemnation."
Yeah.
Right? Let he who's to serve well as a deacon be worthy of double honor. You know, especially, you know, if he was, you know, teaching and that kind of thing. But so yes, there's that accountability, but that doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody, because I'm not. I'm a
But that's
sinner saved by Jesus Christ. My righteousness comes from Christ. Like, I'm not going, like, you better believe that when I get up to however it's going to work, the pearly gates, the standing before God the Father, you know, whatever, I'm not going to go, hey, I'm Pastor Brad. Nope. Because I'm not, like, it's not something for me to flout.
Yeah.
It is a role that God has called me to. And I think, you know, Paul basically mentions, he said, look, I didn't even choose this. God chose it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I could boast a little bit if I chose it, but God told me to, and I'm just being obedient. But trust me, sometimes I don't want to be a pastor. I love being a pastor, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I don't want to.
I've never met anybody, seriously, that I take that back. I've met one person that has ever that ha, that
Name is
has
Gary.
never that has never said yeah, it's Gary, that has never said that there have been days where they've hated what they've done. I mean, like, people are stupid. And sometimes I'm stupid. Sometimes I'm the people that are stupid. Sometimes I'm Gary. Man, Gary's taking it this episode. But all that to say, just to kind of put a nice little tidy bow on it, Brad, that I think it's really important to land our plane on the notion that you, Brad, as a pastor, are called to do that. And are you called for the rest of your life? I think it is a general assumption that if anyone is a pastor, that they are called to be pastors the rest of their lives. However,
You see people get out of
it is not that same assumption, I don't think.
it a lot.
It is not that same assumption, I don't think, that all of us as non-pastors, non-full-time ministers, or even part-time ministers for that matter, but lay people are not held, or we assume that we are not held to the same occupation calling for the rest of our lives. And I think the root of the issue is that, regardless of what we are doing, as you mentioned, whatever season of life that God has put us in, we are to do the work of Christ. What does that look like? I can't tell you that because I don't know what you do. I mean, I know what you, Brad, do. I know what you do in a generic sense.
And again, let's hit that for just a second,
Okay.
right? Because my job is not to just be the only person who's sharing the gospel,
Right.
right? It's not invite people to church. Like, I want you to invite people to church. I don't want to hear people say, my pastor doesn't want me to invite people to church. I want you to invite people to church, but I want you to invite people to Jesus, right? Like, I'll be glad to have those conversations with them. I'll be glad to again preach the sermon on Sunday and get into the Bible study. But part of my role as pastor is to teach and to train the church to be doing that, right? To be training men and women to be making disciples, to be sharing the gospel. Like, so my role in a sense there is to facilitate these things, to raise up the church, again, to be training them. So yeah, I need to be doing that too, right? I need to be sharing the gospel and practicing what I preach. But again, I shouldn't be doing 90% of the evangelism of the sharing of the gospel of the ministry. Now, hopefully, I'm doing it well. I mean, I consider what we're doing right now part of my ministry, though. I consider this ministry, as we're
And I do
sharing
too.
here, ministering to Gary's all over the world.
That's right.
So
Including
Jesus loves you
ourselves,
too.
including us, yeah, when we're
Yeah.
Gary's.
Isn't that
All right.
Gary? Oh, yes. Yeah, we cannot create a new term, though. If we do that, I will apologize to every Gary I meet from now
That's
on.
right.
I'm sorry
Yeah.
we made you the male
Yeah.
version. I'm not
Yeah.
even using the
So
word.
listeners, we're going to create our own little colloquialism right here. Don't be a Gary.
No, Jesus loves Gary's too.
That's right. And when you're a Gary, apologize for being Gary.
I gotta tell you, one of the greatest men in my life. You know, I knew him as Pertner, but his name was Gary.
Gary,
And
nice.
so, and he was, I lost one grandfather when my dad was 13, so far before I was born. The other one when I was 5,
Yeah.
and so he was the grandfather that I didn't have. And so, yeah, so one of the most beloved people in my heart's name was Gary, but to
Well,
me, he will always be Pertner.
shout out to Gary Pertner. That's right.
Well, he's home with Jesus
No, no,
now,
no.
and
I'm
I'm
with you.
right, and I'm glad to be able to say that because for a long time I
Yeah.
prayed for him that he would would come to Jesus, and thank God that he finally did.
That's awesome. All right, well, I have to teach ready in 1 minute, so I'm going to be
Yeah.
late to
Ooh,
class. But
you shoot. I got to get to the coffee shop for a meeting in 11 minutes. So,
listeners, we're going to land our plane. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us. We hope that you enjoyed our show. Always make sure that you interact with us. We love the fact that that we've had more people in the last several weeks reach out and start to engage in the show. We want more of that. That's what we're here to do. It's not just that Brad and I enjoy the show, but we want to hear from you guys. We want your input. We want your thoughts and your opinions. You can contact us with our email, menchurchstuff@gmail.com. You can DM us on either Facebook or Instagram. Follow us on our Facebook group page. You can submit memes if you want me to shoot them to Brad. Give us your own Mad Libs. We're gonna bring those back. And also can keep up the as we mentioned, keep up with the song submissions for dramatic readings.
And if you got a different idea,
let us
we're
know.
We're always looking for
That's exactly right.
Maybe you just are that Sharknado,
That's right.
And it would just be brilliant.
It would be brilliant. That's right.
Brilliant.
But on that note, keep tuning into the show. I'm excited about what we're going to do in the future. So beyond that, listeners, we love you. Brad, love you, buddy.
Love you too.
And listeners, we will catch you next time.
Go be his church.